You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ignition sequence start.
Oh, I'll tell you, Olajuwon has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three in it.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer. Yeah!
Chris Paul puts it up.
Goes to Harden on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win, a three. He got it.
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook,
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. I am your host, Jackson Gatlin, at JT Gatlin on Twitter, producer with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship here in Houston. Today, we are going to preview the upcoming matchup, later tonight, actually, of the Houston Rockets and Denver Nuggets. The Rockets obviously coming in 11-3 on this really strong 8-game win streak. The Nuggets, 9-3, also playing some really good basketball. Two of the Western Conference elite. We kind of knew that coming into the season that the Rockets and Nuggets would be right up there at the top of the pack. And here to help me break down this matchup tonight is Nuggets.com writer Eric Spiropoulos. Hey, Eric, how's it going today, man?
Good, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm excited for this matchup in the Mile High City later tonight. What about you?
It should be a really, really interesting game.
Well, without, you know, wasting any time, I just want to go ahead and dive straight into this. It's going to be a pretty big matchup against some of the Western Conference elite, potentially a Western Conference Finals preview. And I think one of the most interesting aspects of this game is that throughout the Mike D'Antoni era, the Rockets are a staggering 10-1 against the Nuggets, with the only loss actually coming in February of last season, a game that Capella didn't play in. Now, through that same stretch, Westbrook's Thunder teams have actually just gone 4-8 against the Nuggets. What do you think that those records say about Capella's importance to the Rockets and the impact that Westbrook might have on this dynamic?
Yeah, I mean, Capella's importance in this matchup can't be understated, just because the Harden and Capella pick and roll has wreaked havoc on Denver's defense over the past couple of years. You know, they added Paul Millsap a couple of years ago. He really, you know, doesn't have the athleticism and or the size, really, especially the height, to do anything about that matchup. And then, you know, Nikola Jokic, I think he's actually an underrated defender overall in the grand scheme of things. But in this matchup in specific, he struggles guarding on the floor. If he gets switched on to Harden, they're going to have to bring a second guy. And then him trying to recover when trying to guard the initial screen from when Harden just makes his move towards the basket and Capella makes his run towards the rim and then the lob is thrown over Jokic's head has been basically unstoppable for Houston. So that's one area where Capella's presence will probably impact this game tonight and moving forward in these matchups between these two teams. And then Westbrook, the addition of Westbrook, or more specifically the change from Chris Paul to Westbrook, is really fascinating to me. I mean, I know I have all the attentions on Harden, but I think I'm going to be focusing more on that because, as you mentioned, Denver has had success guarding Westbrook in recent seasons. Now, that was when he was with Oklahoma City and there wasn't as much shooting around him as there is in Houston now. But, you know, his kind of running in transition, kind of, you know, unpredictable style, you know, limited shooting, especially from three for Westbrook, has made him rather easy to guard for Denver. But, of course, you know, how he fits in with more shooting around him and running against second units and stuff like that will also be kind of a new wrinkle to this matchup.
Now, you touched on it there for a second, but the Rockets, they are very, very much stylistically, they're different than they were last year. Throughout the Chris Paul era, they were more of a slower-paced team. Chris Paul, James Harden being very content to work in the half court. This year, they actually rank number 3 in pace at the time of this recording, just behind the Bucks and the Wolves at 106.04. The Nuggets, on the other hand, actually rank dead last in pace at 98.25. Do you see Denver trying to maybe slow things down and making Houston play their kind of game? Or do you think they'll maybe get caught up in the speed with which Harden, Westbrook, and company are currently playing at?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, whenever you're trying to say you're going to try and dictate how guys like James Harden and Russell Westbrook are going to play, you know, good luck with that, because those guys are just such overwhelming forces that, you know, the way they want to play ends up being the style of the game. But yeah, Denver has played at a very slow pace this season, and the Rockets obviously have gone from one of the slower teams when Paul and Harden were together to, as you mentioned, top three in pace with Westbrook there. And, you know, Houston, I mean, Denver has had some struggles guarding teams that would play at a fast pace. I mean, they crushed the Grizzlies the other night, and the Grizzlies like to run. But a few weeks ago, they had their worst loss of the season against the Pelicans. And the Pelicans obviously like to push the pace as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they you know, match up with the, you know, new-look Rockets that are trying to push the pace a lot more, and specifically Westbrook. Denver, you know, they said that they want to push the pace a little bit more. You know, their second unit talks about it a lot. Guys like Monte Morris, Mason Plumlee, Jeremy Grant just grabbing the rebound and running. They've, you know, kind of inserted Juan Jordan Gomez back into the rotation recently, and he's been looking to run. So if they do want to push the pace, or they are able to, it's probably going to come more likely on that second unit, which, you know, again, could happen when Westbrook is on the floor too. So we could see a more up-tempo game than Denver is usually accustomed to.
Yeah, that second unit lineup that the Rockets run out, we call them the Russ-only lineups, tend to definitely pick up the pace quite a bit. Now, one of my other concerns kind of heading into this game is the passing ability of not only Jokic, but the Nuggets team as a whole. They actually come in tonight's matchup number 4 in assist percentage, clocking in just under 26 assists per contest. The Rockets have actually shown that one of their weaknesses so far, this not just this season, but kind of historically, has been their switching defense is susceptible to backdoor cuts and off-ball movement at times. So how much of the Nuggets offense is centered around off-ball movement, and do you think this is an area where they'll actually really be able to punish the Rockets and their defensive switching scheme?
Yeah, if the Nuggets are going to have success against the Rockets, it's going to come as a result of their players moving and the ball moving. And that's been one of the things that has kind of ebbed and flowed throughout the season. Their offense is actually, you know, below average so far, which, you know, if you said that the Nuggets would be better defensively than offensively, you know, you kind of get laughed at coming into the season. But yeah, that's been the case. I mean, they've used a slow pace in their defense to win games, as their offense is kind of, you know, some nights the ball is moving, some nights guys are cutting with an emphasis and a focus, and then other nights, you know, they make a lot of passes, but guys kind of just stand around or jack up threes, or in the Nuggets' case, they really love the mid-range shot, which, of course, I mean, these two teams are very opposite in that sense. But yeah, I mean, if the Nuggets are cutting with a purpose, if the ball is moving, that's what the offense is basically predicated on. I mean, you've got a bunch of guys that are averaging a couple of assists per game. Obviously, Jokic is the best passer on this team and so unique from the center position. And, you know, they do a lot of dribble handoffs. They do a lot of, you know, screens and a lot of cuts towards the rim or cuts to three-point range. So if they're going to have success against Houston tonight and moving forward, it's going to be because their offense found a rhythm moving the ball and their players were moving with a purpose.
All right, lots of great insight from Eric here, and we'll continue breaking down this matchup in just a moment. But first, a quick word from our friends over at Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. You can start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. You can visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. If you're listening on the go and you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. And welcome back into Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Right now, we are talking with Eric, and he has a lot of great insight on the Nuggets as a team, what they bring to the table, how this matchup is going to go against the Rockets. And we actually just touched base on it, but Eric, are there any matchups this season that have maybe skewed the numbers for Denver a bit? The Rockets did have their outing against the Wizards, which was a ridiculous offensive bonanza, and then they also had that really lackluster loss against the Miami Heat, which have skewed some of their numbers in the advanced metrics department as far as things are concerned. So are there any numbers that are kind of skewing this Denver team as far as the fact that their defense is being ranked higher than their offense? At the time of this recording, it looks like Denver is coming in 17th in offensive rating and 8th in defensive rating.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, you know, at first glance of and watching all of their games this season, there really hasn't been that, you know, the performances like you mentioned for the Rockets in that Wizards game. I mean, their defense has consistently, with a few exceptions, you know, when Trae Young, you know, lit them up for 42 points and 11 assists and the Hawks dropped 125 on them, defensively there hadn't been too many of those slip-ups. I mean, they held the Timberwolves to 98 points, the Nets to 93, the Sixers, the Heat, all under 100 points. They held the Mavericks to 109, and the Mavericks have, I think, the top-ranked or top three-ranked offense in the league at the moment. So far, the defense has been the consistent unit for Denver. It's been the offense that's kind of, you know, come and gone. I mean, they dropped 131 against Memphis a couple of days ago, but then, you know, you look at these games where they're winning 100-98, 100-97. They beat the Magic 91-87. I mean, we've joked in some of the Denver media that these are the grit and grind Nuggets. You know, the slow pace in an elite defense is what the Grizzlies used to do, and it's not what the Nuggets are used to doing. The Nuggets, you know, are used to playing at a relatively fast pace, though they haven't in recent years, but they're obviously used to being a top five offense that leads the way. But this year, it's all about slowing down the game, and, you know, the defense has been the most consistent unit, which has led them to a 9-3 start.
Now, I know that I don't know how much stock to put into this, so I want to get your take on it. I think there were some social media critiques of maybe Jokic's physique coming into the season. Are those warranted at all? I mean, he did seem a bit bigger than last season, but so maybe is there like a stamina issue there? Is that why the pace has slowed down? Has it caused him issues defensively? Is he not able to get up and down the court? What do you see going on there, or if it's anything at all?
Yeah, I think it's been a little bit overblown, only because in the past we've seen Jokic play at basically a similar size to what he is now and had a lot of success. Even in the playoffs back in April and May, you know, he didn't look too much different than he does now, and he was putting up, you know, almost historic numbers for a player in his first playoff appearance. I think that maybe it has impacted them pushing the pace in the starting unit, and I think his aggressiveness in terms of posting up has gone down a decent amount. He's shooting more three-pointers. He's attempting nearly 5 threes a game, but he's only shooting 24.6%. So it's kind of a thing where defenses have actually started to sag off him, and that way they can kind of clog the paint so they can prevent those cuts to the rim that he likes to find those passes to and encourage him to shoot those threes or long twos, and he has not been hitting them at a great rate so far. So, of course, if that changes, that'll hurt defenses, but right now it hasn't hurt them at all. So I think his aggressiveness has kind of ebbed and flowed in terms of wanting the ball in the post and scoring in the post. You see more three-pointers attempted from him, and, you know, his minutes are at 30 per game, which is a little bit lower than you would expect, but, of course, they never really push him that many minutes during the regular season anyway, so I think it's slightly overblown. I think it impacted him in some regards, and then in some regards I think the team overall has just kind of struggled to find a consistency on the offensive end.
Now, as far as this past offseason goes, Jeremy Grant being, I guess, the major offseason acquisition for the Nuggets, and then Michael Porter Jr. playing his first campaign through the NBA, how have these guys factored into the lineup that is really, it's largely the same as last year's?
Yeah, Jeremy Grant is definitely the featured addition. He plays the most minutes off the bench. He's always basically always the first sub off the bench for Paul Millsap, who is having a great start to the season, you know, despite being 34 years old and having his playing time reduced a little bit. But Grant so far is averaging 22 minutes a game. The shooting has not been, so obviously the big story was that last year he shot almost 40% from three with the Thunder. So far it's only been 30% this season. But he has been playing the most minutes off the bench. He's averaging 9 points a game. Rebounding is down. Block shots are down. But again, I think that's part of his role. And he's still trying to find the rhythm. He's still trying to, you know, make the right cut at the right time or when to space the floor and stay behind the three-point line. And now, you know, Coach Malone has been tinkering with the second unit a lot recently. Torrey Craig first started as one of the feature guys off the bench. Recently, like I mentioned before, Juancho Hernan Gomez has been playing and done pretty well. Some nights Michael Porter is getting playing time, some nights he's not. So the floor spacing and the types of players that Grant is playing alongside has changed, you know, fairly often so far, which might have been, you know, hurting his rhythm to start the season. But so far, he's definitely been the featured addition.
Now, speaking of offseason movement, in an NBA offseason that featured so many different guys going to so many different places via trade and free agency, what were your immediate thoughts surrounding the Westbrook CP3 deal, and how do you think it's panned out for the Rockets so far?
I mean, I think so far it's panned out pretty well. I think that the fit looks pretty good, the staggering of the two. I think that similar to when the Rockets traded for Chris Paul, which is when I was covering the team originally, people didn't talk enough about how D'Antoni was going to stagger them plenty anyways. And I think that was still under discussed when they were talking about the fit of Harden and Westbrook. Of course, you'll see them when they're sharing the court, you'll see some defenses really stag off Westbrook. And in the past, Denver has really done an aggressive kind of trap or double on Harden, and they might do that tonight and look to bring that Westbrook defender off of him, and we'll see if Westbrook can adapt to that. But I think the fit so far has been pretty good. Obviously, they've been dealing with some injuries. You know, Eric Gordon's out for a while and was not playing well at all to begin the season. Capella and House missed some games, but those guys are both fitting in really well, and P.J. Tucker's obviously still bringing the same stuff that P.J. Tucker does. The only problem I really had with the deal, the actual trade, was just the future assets given up and the fact that I'm a big Chris Paul fan. So I always would have loved them running back the same team with a couple of smaller adjustments. But, of course, you know, chemistry kind of decides team building. But besides the future assets that had to be given up to get off Paul's contract and get Westbrook, I thought the deal was fine. But I think in a couple of years from now, you know, we'll see if we're saying the same things.
Yeah, I don't think anybody here in Houston or anybody that's a fan of the Rockets harbors any ill will towards Chris Paul. I mean, being one hamstring away from arguably what would have been a finals appearance and possibly a championship, the third in franchise history, is no small feat. So I don't think there's any ill will there. I think most fans were sad to see him go and not be able to win something here in Houston. But you get younger with Westbrook, you get a longtime friend of Harden, and so far we're seeing that friendship blossom on the court in the form of a 10-3 basketball team. Now, before we get you out of here today, is there anything you want to go ahead and plug?
Yeah, so you'll find all my writing at Nuggets.com. Obviously, I wrote a pretty in-depth game preview for tonight's game, which is up there, and obviously we just released our new City Edition jersey, so we've got plenty of content around our new Skyline jerseys up there as well. So you'll find everything at Nuggets.com, and then you can follow me on Twitter at Eric_Spiros.
All right, Eric, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, and before we wrap up this segment, a quick word from our friends over at MyBookie. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats, you got extra holiday spending money. If you lose, congrats to you as well, MyBookie will actually give you all of your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy. Doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer. MyBookie welcomes all to come play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. That's on top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat, that's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. You can hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. And welcome back into Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. We are now rounding the corner to third, headed for home as we wrap up this podcast. And for this final segment, I'm going to give my fair share of Rockets thoughts. We got a lot of information from Eric there, kind of the Nuggets side of things, but this is a Rockets podcast, so here we go. One of my biggest concerns, and Eric did touch base on this, is that the Nuggets bench is actually kind of this really strong defensive lineup for them. That's been where they've found a lot of success this season. A lot of that length that Jeremy Grant provides coming off that bench, I guess he's kind of the Nuggets' sixth man, so to speak, right now. Kind of that first substitution off the bench for Paul Millsap. I am concerned, and this is a concern that I've had all season so far, is that Russell Westbrook and these Russ-only lineups have yet to terrorize opposing bench units the same way that Chris Paul did. One of the benefits to the James Harden-Chris Paul dynamic was that Chris Paul would come in with the second stringers and he would absolutely feast on opposing bench units. The Rockets have not been that way at all so far this year. Now, you can attribute that to some of Russell Westbrook not really being, we're not going to say in the best shape, but not being really ready for the start of the season in the sense that he's, you know, shaking off that rust from being out all summer. kind of adapting to a new team, new environment, getting used to this new role. He's getting used to his conditioning, having this second rest that he's getting that he's not used to getting. His minutes used to be what James plays the entire first quarter, rests for one long rest at the beginning of the second, and then plays the end of the first half. That's probably playing a part of kind of his issues to adapt so far. We've seen Russ play well. We've also seen him have some bad games. His shooting has struggled, which is probably in large part due to the dislocated fingers on his shooting hand. But overall, we haven't seen him destroy opposing bench units, which is one of the luxuries that the Rockets had, and why the staggering of James Harden and Chris Paul was so effective is because for 48 minutes you had a Hall of Fame ball handler on the court. And not only that, but you had these lesser bench units trying to guard an elite ball handler and playmaker in Chris Paul. So you had Chris Paul, you also had Eric Gordon, and these two guys, along with the other guys on the court with them, would actually lengthen the leads, where they would increase the leads while James Harden was sitting on the bench. Whereas now, it doesn't feel bad having Russ run the lineup. It definitely doesn't feel like Mike D'Antoni's first year in Houston, where we had to rely on James Harden sitting down and we had to rely on the likes of Patrick Beverley and Eric Gordon to run the offense for 6 to 7 minutes at a time. That didn't feel super great. So it's obviously not as bad as that. We're kind of nitpicking here because we were used to Chris Paul for 2 years here in Houston. So now we've got Russ, and it's just, he's a different type of player. And so maybe Russ isn't going to be as lethal against opposing bench units as Chris Paul was. And part of that is because he doesn't play with the same type of, you know what I'm going to liken it to? I don't care if this expression works or not. Chris Paul to me is like a surgeon. Chris Paul is going in there and he's going for these precise passes, these expert level plays, this high basketball IQ. He's going in and he is meticulously designing each and every play and making these reads and doing things his exact way with a high degree of care and attention to detail and all these things. I think that fits Chris Paul well. Westbrook is like a sledgehammer. So maybe Chris Paul goes in to repair a kneecap and Westbrook's just like, we're just going to, you know, take a hammer to the knee or we're going to saw it off. I don't know if this expression works, but I'm going to stick with it. I like it. And so because of that, you're not taking advantage of necessarily all of the weaknesses that opposing bench units tend to provide you. Bench units for opposing teams tend to be lesser than or not as good as their starting lineups. That's why they're coming off the bench. And so Chris Paul was able to exploit weaknesses that he found in opposing bench units, whereas Westbrook, that's not his game. Westbrook's game is the same against opposing bench units as it is against starters, against doesn't matter who he's playing against. Westbrook plays his brand of basketball, which is why I feel like we haven't seen him really capitalize against opposing bench units so far. Now, moving on from Westbrook, I am excited to see Harden and Capella carve up Denver again. Give Eric his credit. He's a writer for Nuggets.com, so his bias was showing a little bit, saying that Nikola Jokic has improved defensively, and to his credit, he probably has. But he has always struggled in this James Harden, Clint Capella pick and roll. It is the most lethal pick and roll duo in the league, so there's no issue with Jokic struggling to defend them. But where do you even go if you're the Nuggets? Because you can't take your best player off the court simply because he gets cooked in the pick and roll with Harden and Capella. You just can't do it. Your offense would struggle. Your entire team structure would struggle. So the Rockets have to utilize that as much as possible. And what I would like to see, and we still haven't seen much of it yet, is I would like to see Russ and Capella get into the pick and roll a bit with each other. Again, Russ's pick and roll numbers are so far down from last year. He's running four less pick and rolls as the main ball handler per game than he was last season. And because I don't have the advanced metrics behind it, I can't tell you whether those are all pick and rolls with Steven Adams or if there were other guys in there, but he was running 7 to 8 pick and rolls per game last year as the primary ball handler. And that's a legitimate pick and roll all the way to the basket. You know, player sets screen, player rolls all the way straight or drives all the way straight to the basket. So this year, Harden's got similar numbers with Capella, but then Russ's numbers are all the way down. He's running 2 or 3 a game. And I would really like to see, and I'm sure a lot of you would too, I would like to see him develop that chemistry with Capella, because if Harden can be that lethal with Capella in the pick and roll, why can't Russ do it? It's a chemistry that CP3 never really developed with Capella, and I thought that Russ would be able to come in and develop that same chemistry with Capella. Obviously not immediately. It's something that builds up over time. Harden and Capella didn't jump out of the gate in that 16-17 season when Capella started as the new starting center after Dwight left. Capella didn't just immediately start catching all these lobs. He had to work on his hands. They had to work on their timing, and it's gotten better and better every single season. So obviously it'll take time for Capella to develop that same level of chemistry with Russ, but Russ is a willing passer. He's a different kind of passer than James. His passes are, and I remember seeing this on social media, his passes are basically fireballs. I love that term for Russ's passing, by the way. But yeah, Russ shoots fireballs, these two-handed chest passes 4 feet away from his target, full-blown, just he cocks the ball behind his head and then launches it at his target. They go a little haywire sometimes. They're a little hard to control. They're not as finesse as James Harden passes are. So maybe it'll take more time for them to develop that chemistry, but we're not even seeing it right now is the problem. We're not even seeing Russ and Capella run these pick and rolls together, and partially that's because their minutes are staggered. Capella's minutes do tend to line up more with Harden's minutes, so that makes it easier for them to sync up on this. But even when there are times when Capella and Westbrook are on the court together, we're still not seeing those pick and rolls occur. So I'd like to see a bit more of that out of tonight. We're definitely going to see a lot of Austin Rivers. He's basically become the new sixth man on the Rockets bench now that Eric Gordon is out until mid-December. So we're going to see a lot of Austin Rivers tonight. He's going to have a handful in guarding a lot of the perimeter players for Denver. He's going to be on Murray, Gary Harris, Monte Morris, doesn't matter who. If there's a guard in there, whoever the highest scoring guard is, Austin Rivers is going to come in and have to check that person. And Austin's been providing some really great defense as of late, so I think that'll continue tonight, and I think he's going to be a key element off the bench. I think it's going to be a close game. I think that the Rockets are going to really be tested tonight, and I kind of see it coming down to the wire. I want to say I'm confident that the Rockets will win, but the Nuggets are still a really good team. And this is going to be a great test, followed by another great test on Friday when they face the Clippers in LA with Paul George and more than likely with Kawhi Leonard. So this is the first of two really, really big tests, continuing on this eight-game stretch during November. I'm confident that Harden and Capella will have good games. A lot of this relies on Westbrook, who has been, up to this point, rather inconsistent with his performances. If he can limit the shots that he takes that are not great shots and try his absolute best to facilitate more of those mid-range and three-point looks to other shooters, I think that's when the Rockets will really be thriving. Again, that stretch at the end of last game where Westbrook absolutely torched the Blazers, end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth, that stretch where he drove to the basket like six or seven straight times in a row. We need that version of Russ. That version of Russ consistently makes the Rockets one of, if not the contender, the favorite contender for the title. But the Russ that sits there and jacks up mid-range jumpers and takes unnecessary three-pointers, backs his defender down and shoots turnaround fadeaways off the glass, that Russ is potentially down the line going to shoot the Rockets out of games. We did speak in the most recent podcast about the extra opportunities that Westbrook creates for your team, and maybe it's not the end of the world if Russ is taking those shots because he's generating so many more opportunities for you overall. But as a whole, we still want to see him try to limit those. I think it's too much to ask Russ to just change completely as a player. He's 31 years old now. He's been in the league how many years? Over a decade. He's not going to change as a player. That much we need to come to accept. But we can at least hope that he limits himself, limits his mid-range jumpers, limits his three-point attempts, because every three that Russ takes is a three that PJ isn't taking, or that James isn't taking, or that Daniel House isn't taking. And shots that those guys aren't taking, when your good shooters aren't taking those shots, it's a bad possession, let's face it. If you're facing the Rockets and you've got Russell Westbrook, Austin Rivers, and Ben McLemore taking all the shots for you, or against you, you're happy with that. Every time James or PJ or Daniel House doesn't shoot the ball, you are ecstatic because the person who's shooting the ball is not as good of a shooter as the other guys that I just mentioned. When Eric Gordon comes back, he falls somewhere in the middle of that because Eric Gordon is such a streaky shooter that you kind of give or take, whatever. He falls somewhere smack dab in the middle because there are some stretches where Eric Gordon will shoot you out of a game and there's other stretches where he can't miss. Overall, I'm ready for this game because I'm ready to continue to see the Rockets play against upper echelon type teams. Because really, it's still early in the season, and for the most part, the Rockets have had a relatively easy schedule thus far. And so this game and the Clippers game will be very telling of how this dynamic duo of Harden and Westbrook, as well as the supporting cast of players all the way down to guys like Isaiah Hartenstein and Chris Clemens, should they get minutes tonight, Tyson Chandler, Tabo Cephalosha, Ben McLemore, everybody, top to bottom. This game and the Clippers game on Friday will be very telling of how this ball club faces against, or sorry, how they stand up to and how they compare against other top-tier opponents, because we really haven't seen that many so far. We saw the Bucks on opening night. We saw the Clippers minus Paul George. And that's really it so far. Those are really the only two contenders that we've seen the Rockets play against. The Miami Heat, I'm not going to count that game. That was kind of a weird type of game. And honestly, I don't know if I'm counting the Heat as contenders just yet. They're playing good basketball, sure. But the Rockets play them again at the end of this month on the 27th, right after Thanksgiving. So that'll be another great test right there. But I'm not counting them as contenders just yet. The contenders in my mind are the two Lakers teams, the Nuggets, the Bucks, the Celtics. We'll throw in the Raptors. Raptors are playing some great basketball, minus some of their good players. They've had some injury issues as of late. But for tonight, I'm expecting big games from House and from Westbrook, honestly. Because I'm expecting Denver to spend so much time loading up on James Harden and Clint Capella to try and limit those two that Westbrook and House should have ample opportunities, and potentially even PJ Tucker, honestly. This starting lineup, the Nuggets are going to do their absolute best to limit James Harden and Clint Capella because those are the two guys that have burned you so much. They're the two guys, they're the reason that the Nuggets only have one win against the Rockets throughout the Mike D'Antoni era. And there's a reason that the one game that Clint Capella sat out, the Rockets lost. They did have Kenneth Faried in that game, and I think Faried had like 20-something points. But Capella anchors the defense in a way, and he guards Jokic in a way as kind of more of one of those agile bigs in the league. Capella's not one of those traditional bigs. He's not huge like Joel Embiid or Rudy Gobert. He's a bit more agile. He kind of matches up a bit better with Jokic. And offensively, again, how do you even guard the Harden Capella pick and roll? Many teams have tried and many teams have failed. And it just seems like the Nuggets have failed more often than they've succeeded. So with that, I think they're going to really channel a lot of focus into cutting down that pick and roll from Harden and Capella. And I think because of that, I think that guys will be open. House will have ample opportunity to shoot the ball. Same thing for Tucker. And I think that Westbrook is actually going to get a chance to attack some fractured defenses more this game than we've seen him all year, really. Because if the Nuggets decide to double team James Harden or to trap the pick and roll between James Harden and Clint Capella, then Russ is going to be attacking a scrambling defense all night long. And as long as he makes the right choices and makes the right reads, then it's all she wrote for the Nuggets. I think that's where we will leave things off for today, this Wednesday, November 20th. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. If you want more content before our next show, social media is where it's all happening. I'm on there at JT Gatlin. Eric is on there at Eric_Spyros. And the show is on there, of course, at Locked On Rockets. Past that, there's Facebook, which can be found at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, the website LockedOnRockets.com, and of course, our email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of these are different ways to consume content about your Houston Rockets. You can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, place advertising inquiries. Really, it's just a way for you to reach out and let me know if there's anything that we can do to improve this experience for you, our listeners. Beyond that, if you'd be kind enough to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts, if you could please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. That's how you get the benefit of episodes straight to your inbox before they're published to the previously mentioned social media outlets. And then we get the benefit of looking attractive to potential advertisers and keeping this business model rolling along as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Again, for this Wednesday afternoon, November 20th, this is where we break. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to have you back again very, very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.